We know where we've come from, and we've gathered together in this place. Oh God, we just praise you. Father, your name is glorious, your name is power. And I pray that in this moment, Holy Spirit, that we'll close the door to the enemy, we'll open the door to victory. We'll close the door to doubt and depression, and we'll open the door for the change to be unlocked. That we will find your Holy Spirit's presence in this place, flowing, God, in every life, in every soul, in every spirit, in everything we do. We will speak the name of Jesus. Have your way now, God, in your holy name. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to try to give it my full go up on my feet today. Doc says, give it a shot. If I sit down, well, then I'm just going to sit down. That's it. But we're gathered together in his name. Lots to pray about, lots to be thankful about. Man, if you haven't looked around the room, there's a face we haven't seen in a while. Man, he's looking good, Mr. Gary. It is. So good to see you, sir. I know it's been a long journey, but yeah, give God the praise. I mean, it's been a journey for him. We're just glad to see you, brother. Glad to see you out and about and back worshiping with us. There's many that are watching online. Once again, hey, next week, now I'm giving you a heads up. Sheila's going to be here the 10th and the 17th. So if you're wanting traditional hymns and you want to hear Sheila playing, tell them, bring your friends back. We'll be, she'll be tickling the ivories and we'll be singing some traditional hymns. So that's your opportunity. Well noticed. I'm going to put together some hymns for next week and the following week. So you're ready to sing along with those? Come on. You guys know Sheila. I don't need to tell you all about her. But I've got her to come for a couple of weeks. So that's coming along, but we're going to worship the Lord today. I've already begun worship in some respects, speaking the name of Jesus. So I've tried to pick some songs that you can sing along with. Join us in worship, whether you want to stand, sit, however you're comfortable. Worship the Lord in this opening song. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Just see us right.
are so grateful, God, that we can gather in your name. Bless your people. Bless the service. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Randy back there, Junior? Well, it's a busy week. Those of you that are elect, deciding to vote, Tuesday's your day. We've already done ours and all set, finished with that. We'll see what Tuesday brings. My guess is we probably won't know until Wednesday morning, but I pray God knows. Huh? Yeah, God not already knows who's going in, so we're just praying for peace in our country. Don't need any more violence. We just want peace. So whatever God has is what God has. And we're going to pray for our leaders, whoever that is. We're going to continue to pray that God has his way. Tuesday. What's next? Ladies Bible Study Hope Crossing. That's taking a pause from their studies, and they'll pick up some. I know that Brent Beggs, his ordination service is November 17th, so I know they're probably trying to get things settled, and it's been a busy time for them, so they're going to kind of resume soon. But that's coming up. All right, nothing this Wednesday. I will not be available this Wednesday, so we'll resume on Wednesday the 13th.
I was coming to my son.
Well, you can come if you want. You can come and cook. But Wednesday, we'll put you to work. Gary, you'll have to wait on your ice cream, buddy. One more week. I know. Can you believe it?
We got some yesterday.
You got some yesterday in prep for Wednesday night, didn't you? Oh, man. Well, I didn't do that very well. I'm sorry, but...
Am I going to wait another week?
Well, you'll have to wait another week. I don't think that ice cream is going to spoil as long as you keep it frozen. All right. Poinsettias. Guess what? And you can say it. Everybody tells me I always push it ahead too far, but last day to order poinsettias is November 17th. And I have the Advent packages in the office. And I'm not trying to rush it. It's just that we have to be prepared. We have anybody that would like theirs ahead of time, you're welcome to them. Along with that, we are having difficulty finding someone to play Christmas Eve. So we have a couple of choices. And I'll let you stew on that, and you guys can get with me. We either try to gather together Christmas Eve and do a cappella songs, and a couple of traditional Christmas hymns a cappella, Christmas Eve here, or if you would like to, Hope Crossing is having their service at the same time, 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve. If you would like to gather with them, we can do that. That's your choice. I'm not totally set either way. I'll do either one. I'm willing to sing a cappella, but you guys got to sing. If we're going to come in here and sing a cappella, I don't want to be singing Acapulco and off tune. But you're going to have to help me. So I'm willing to do whichever. So poinsettias and all of that. Go ahead, next. Hanging of the Greens, Sunday the 24th. Right after, is that before Thanksgiving?
It sure is.
Oh, boy.
Thanksgiving's late this year.
Well, so, okay. There it is, Hanging of the Greens. We're going to decorate our sanctuary. So we're good there. All right, what's next? Giving Tree, there you go. Microphone, so they can hear you. Mr. John, pulpit.
We're getting an early start. We're getting an early start this year because in the past we've not had things up right away. I have to have my glasses this morning. I want to share scripture with you first. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's a couple of verses that talk about giving, so I know we all know these, but I'm going to read them again this morning. Verse 6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, and in all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So, like the scripture says, I'm not going to I'm not trying to make compulsion on you. We want this, and I don't want you to be reluctant about giving. This year, our Giving Tree, we want to get an early start because there are a lot of items that we would like to get for this group. In my little basket, I'm going to put it at the back of the Welcome Center so that when our Giving Tree is up in a couple of weeks, we can start putting things under it. We're helping a group called Enrich Christian Homeschool Co-op. Right now, they have 95 families and over 275 students. These are families that do homeschool, but they're Christian families, and they take that to heart. If you'll read the information that's in your bulletin this week, it tells a little bit about them. But they take to heart being the body of Christ. When one of their families, a lot of the families that homeschool, a lot of the kids have health issues, or the parents have health issues. And these are Christian-based programs that they offer. They meet once a week so that the kids can get interaction with other kids so that they're not just all separated by themselves. But they also help these families when they have a need. Especially with the parents, if there's a parent that's going through, they have quite a few that are going through some health struggles of their own. So they help with some support. So being that it's a school group, my little chalkboards are here. And in this basket, I have 102 of these cards in there. I know that's a big sounding number, but I know God's able. And I also know that when we give, God blesses in return as well. But there's all kinds of different things on here, all different little things, big things, just different things to help them with their programs. This one's a hula hoop, because they use those in their gym classes. But they need a lot of different things. So I want to put these cards at the back, look through them, take one or two, take half a dozen if you can. You know, whatever God is leading you to do, that the scripture says, whatever God is putting on your card. And just know that you'll be blessing some families. But I just pray that you read the little information in your bulletin this week. It's also online on our website, too. To understand that we're helping to be the body and feet of Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus as well, when we help other people. But we'll be giving, we'll be collecting things through the end of December. So our Giving Tree, you've got 3 weeks before our Giving Tree is up. So you can get a head start on your Christmas giving, and remember, God loves a cheerful giver, and we know when we give, it makes us happy too. So thank you.
I'm not the only one rushing an envelope. But that, we have been searching for a place to try to bless during the Christmas season, and I think this will make a huge difference. So it's something new for us to try. The cards are back there. Take a look at them. Let's see, what else? QR code. Bulletins posted, the November calendars posted. All the activities are up there for your information. So keep those in mind. Continue to look at the webpage. You'll find all the information there for your viewing. During our prayer time today, obviously, if you haven't gotten your communion elements, you want to make sure that, does everyone have those this morning, the communion elements? Yes? No? Okay, just want to make sure you have them. But we're going to be doing communion during our time of prayer. We want to keep Tom Collins in our prayers, John's uncle Harold, Mary Bader in our prayers. She's going through some tests and just needs our prayers. We want to keep Rita as she's recovering from knee surgery. A multitude of prayer requests that we mention on a regular basis, so we want to keep those. We want to keep Steve's wife, Kathy, in our prayers. We've been praying for her, and we want to continue to do that. Are there other requests that I'm missing this morning? Yes, Jackie.
Just take me in the door. I got some health issues over there.
Okay. All right. Jackie. Other requests? Did I miss it?
It's not a request. I'd just like to thank you for all your prayers and good wishes for Gary. It's been a lot of hard work. And I'd like to thank you.
All right, if no other prayer requests or praises, I've chosen two songs that are listed in your bulletin, whether you want to stand or sit. You should know that one is a newer version I picked up from Bart Millard for Mercy Me. The other one should be a common, maybe not a common tune, but a common song for you to sing to. So let's roll them, and then whether you sit, stand, however you do, this one's by Chris Thompson. I believe that's the... No, how deep the Father's love. I think the wrong one. Is that the right one?
That's the one.
Okay. You got to understand the meaning is down my mind.
Father, may we take you in
and let go of the things of the world around us. You may bless your people today. God, we are grateful for the cross. We're grateful for the tomb. We're grateful for a resurrected Jesus. We celebrate these gifts this morning, being reminded of all that you have done for us. In your holy name, I pray. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, eat and drink as you will. Continue to remember the needs of the body that we celebrate today. And those that are needing a touch, we're thankful for many prayers and blessings. Father, we just come to you, God. We have just taken you into our life, Father. I stand amazed at the gift that you gave for us. I will sing, God, with a glad heart. I will rejoice, Father, because you have been victorious. I will give thanks, Father, for the cross is empty and the tomb is bare. I will praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God, you have blessed us. We give thanks, God, for the wonderful gift of prayers that you have been with Gene and Gary throughout the last number of weeks. Join us today, God. It is only because of you, Father, only because of your grace and your mercy, Father, the prayer of the righteous has availed much. We give thanks. Father, I'm thankful that I was able to celebrate Lucy's birthday yesterday. And Dave got a chance to celebrate. Give him a little jingle and wish him happy birthday. Father, I'm thankful for my daughter going back to work after a couple weeks. Thankful for the healing process in my own life. Thankful, God, for the GA and a wonderful chance to worship together with Mitchell Birch and wonderful music, songs, celebration, and to know your presence. Is alive and well. Father, we had close to 70 congregations, you know that, gathered with us, worshiping at the Crown Plaza. What a wonderful opportunity. What a blessing to see the church is alive and well, God. Father, we praise you for that. We also praise you, God, for the coming election. As you know, the results are already in place. You already know before we even cast our vote. Father, I pray that we will be people of faith and cast our vote. Father, that no matter what happens, we pray for peace in our country, peace in our world. We pray for the next leader, the next 4 years, in coming January. When they're sworn in and they take the oath of office, I pray, God, your anointing upon their life. Whoever it is, Father, we pray that you will lead and guard. Father, you will bring healing to our land. Hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Father, you already know the shape that we're in. You know the things that are around us. Father, every day we turn on the news and there's wars and rumors of wars and violence across our land. And yet, in the midst of it, we call to our God. Father, I pray that you open the doors and windows of the hearts of your people. To speak freely to them, God, and we give you thanks and praise. And continue to lift up the needs of the body. Continue to pray for John's Uncle Harold. We'll touch him. Continue to pray for Tom Collins, that he will touch his body. Continue to pray for Rita, for healing from her surgery. Continue to pray for Jackie, for the needs that she has physically, for her mom Judy, for healing. We continue to lift up Suzanne, even though we see her God, we're praising you for that good work, and we want to continue to see the growth and healing in her life. We pray for Charlotte, who is at home. We pray for Lee Burbage and Yvonne and many, Father, who have paved the way, who are not able to be with us. And we ask your anointing to be with them. Pray for Kathy this morning, God. Father, that you'll give her an open mind. She'll take the steps, God. She'll be active in her own healing. Sometimes we can't do it all. Pray for Steve, God. She'll give him grace. When it's beyond his control, God, that you will give Kathy the wisdom to aid in her own healing. God, we're going to be an advocate for it. We're going to push. We're going to claim. We're going to call. We're going to continue to be maybe a royal pain in her behind. But God, we want her well. We're going to ask, God, that you provide the resources necessary. You'll make things happen when we can't do it, and you'll continue to touch her. God, I pray for Mary Baker. You know what's going on in her life, and you know the test, and we just ask, God, your anointing to be with Mary and with Tom. God, we continue to ask for your anointing upon this place, upon your church. It's good to see Brent get ready for ordination, God, and accepted, and the tears of grace and glory. Thank you, God, for the 8 candidates that are stepping out in faith in ordination. God, we've got 9 already ready for next year, and we're looking at 20 in the coming year. So, God, the church is on the move. God, we are thankful for the Church of God Universal is on the move. I pray, Father, for our friends in Tennessee. We pray for our friends in Kenya, Bungoma, Kenya, for South Carolina, for North Carolina, for all over this great state of Michigan. We pray for our churches this morning. I ask for your touch upon Mark as he leads, for Brent and Heather and Angie and Tom and Mary and Chippewa Valley and the churches in our church this morning today, God, that you'll continue to anoint Beth and I as we lead. Father, may your grace open the doors this morning. May the Spirit be open to our lives, and may you teach us. May we hear what the Scripture has to say to the church today. Father, may your words come alive. May you speak in and through me today. And I'll thank you for your richness and your blessings. And this we pray in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To you, God, glory forever and ever.
And before you know it, I was all turned around. We pulled in
parking lot, and I finally got off the phone and said, well, I better call him. Because after an hour or so, this isn't working out in my favor. And little did I know, I had a little miss next to me just going, I told you 45 minutes ago, you should have called. Sometimes on occasions, I like to go back. I haven't been back in a while, but I go back to high school where I graduated. Thinking I'll see people, and occasionally I'll see on Facebook the classes, and I'll look and see if I remember any of them. I remember a lot of them, and I see faces. But things have changed. Surroundings change. Schools change. Maybe church is the same way. Maybe you come this morning and you walk in and think, something's different in here. I don't know what it is, but you put my finger on it. Something's different. Something's changed. It just doesn't feel the same way it did. I wonder how outsiders feel when they walk in. Do they come in and think they're like Abraham in a foreign land? I want to talk about that. What does it mean to be in a strange place? So let's look at Ruth, chapter 1. If you will, if you're able to, stand for the reading of God's Word. Page 411 on your large print Bibles underneath your chairs. We'll get there and we'll read Ruth, chapter 1. And you can follow along with me. Begins in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. They went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. She was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women. One was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. And they had lived there about 10 years. But Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons and her husband. Without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return from there. Now, keep in mind, there's a famine in the land. She's preparing to return from there. Her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out for a road that would take them back to the land of Judah. She's come from there. She's going back. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. Go home. Go back. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed him goodbye and wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? And remember, Israelite women were not allowed to marry Moabite. They were forbidden according to the law. So she says, go back to where you need to go. Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, why would you wait until they grow up? Basically, you're going to have to wait 18, 20 years for them to get to be a man. Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me. And at this they wept aloud. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. And Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go with her. Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her. She stopped urging her. Now, go ahead and be seated. I want you to read with me the rest of this. I didn't have Beth print it. But in verse 19, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. They arrived in Bethlehem. The whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she said. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. In the book of Ruth, we hear a great story. The first verse of the story is filled with crucial information, setting the context of what we've just read. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. The judges ruling were no longer existent, and they're in the midst of a famine. They went to live in Moab because there was food and there was grain, and they heard about good times. The last thing we heard is the previous verse of Ruth. Our Bible reads, in those days there was no king. And over all kinds of things, there's a famine in the land, lack of food, triggers a sense of emptiness in the society that will soon be evident. Is it possible that given the state of affairs that we could find ourselves next week in a strange place? Is it quite possible that we are finding ourselves in strange times right now? In such a fact that we see political upheaval, a sense of pins and needles about what the future of the country. We're not sure if there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, disease, financial struggles, and yet we are told this morning that you are in a strange place, press on and trust God. Oh, really? The classic Israelite patriarchal family of father, mother, two sons will all soon be shattered. The trip to Moab, a tiny community south and east of Israel, is marked by tragedy. She loses her husband, and she loses her two sons, and left with Orpah and Ruth. Disaster. We've just left the land. We've come to where we're at now. Talk about emptiness and famine. The whole story moves on. We hear they're returning to a land. Naomi is telling them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because of the bitterness and emptiness that I feel." We might be empty when it comes to physical terms, but at a great church, the story lends us to know a little bit more. When the world seems to be down and there's nothing left, there are times when God is up to something. We don't always know what God is doing. We always want to know what God is doing, but we don't always know what God is doing. And sometimes we really want to control what God is up to and what God is doing. Well, Ruth and Naomi are in a strange place. According to the scriptures, we might be as well. From emptiness to fullness with God. Naomi soon learns, after 10 years in Moab, that the Israelite family has finally ended. She's determined to go home. After all, she's a woman, widow, foreigner. Three strikes, you're out. You have nothing left. There's no hope for her in Moab. Perhaps in Israel, she might find some sort of solace. She sets out for home. Realized that the two Moabite women trailing her. She will have none of that. Go back. She deals with them and tries to get the two girls to leave her. Naomi then resorts to a unique Israelite argument to convince them to stay in Moab. By custom, the levirate marriage demands that in order to keep the male alive in the community, they must remarry. They must have new husbands. Naomi claims she has no living relatives at this point and paints the absurd scenario that you think I'm going to, even if I marry a man tonight and I have two children, are you going to wait for them? Kind of a story that says, really? You're not thinking very clearly. She begs Orpah to go back, and Ruth. Orpah says, okay. Ruth goes, not having any of that. The whole notion is ridiculous. And her amazing and familiar speech resounds with Naomi's repeated demand, go! Ruth enjoins Naomi, don't force me to abandon you, or don't make me turn away from you. Where I go, you will go, and she goes on with that presentation. They finally arrive at Bethlehem. The entire town is stirred by the presence of Naomi. Scarred by the years of absence and nearly unrecognizable. Now, I beg you to keep in mind, none of us change. You ever have that familiar face that you haven't seen in years? You think, Lord, what happened to you? Don't I know you? I recognize you from the past, but I cannot remember your name. Age has crept in, and we kind of scrambled it all. Who is that? I know. I should know that person. Who is it? And they're looking at you like, well, what would you think I would know? They're your friends. But Naomi returns to a place where she had the full delight of God. She was well known. She had a great family, two children, two daughters-in-law, and a great blessing that God had given to her. And now she's left to go to Moab and returns back. Nobody recognizes her. She is leaving full and returning empty. Quite possibly, is it quite in fact possible that we go different routes? And trust me, we live in a time to where you will see someone today and you may not see that person for 10 years. And God brings people in and out of your life. And at times when they're specifically important and you may not know why, you may not know or understand why you see that person today and haven't seen them for years, and all of a sudden that person's back into your life and you begin to deal with memories along the path. You know that person. You know the life they live. You know the journey they've been on, and all of a sudden something's changed. Could it be quite possible that Paul understood the same possibility of the fullness of God when he encountered the church at Ephesus? Is it possible that we can move from a state of emptiness to a state of fullness, and how does that happen? Well, you might say, well, tell me, how does that happen? Well, let me share with you the wisdom that I find from scriptures. It is possible that you and I might be empty from the world around us, but we can be full because of God's love. Paul states it this way in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this very reason, Paul said, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So Paul is kneeling for the church at Ephesus, and he is saying, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. We may be empty physically. We may be empty in family. We may be empty in the things that we hold on to. And God is reminding us this morning that we will be full because the Spirit dwells inside of us. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You may be completely down to your last dime. You may have your little money clip in your pocket, and it may have just a few couple of bucks hanging to it. I got five hanging on mine, and it barely hangs on to there because I've only got one of them. getting down like the widow of Zarephath to the last little bit of flour and the last little bit of oil that you have left in your container. And God is saying, when you're down to nothing, I am up to something. And what you will find is we find fullness in the Spirit of God who dwells in your heart through the power of faith. Now, Paul goes on to continue to say, church, well, if I'm empty from around me, how do I become full from Christ? He said in verse 17 in the same chapter, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We find fullness in God through the power of Christ who dwells in your life. And then he says, well, because of that, I pray that together you may be rooted and established in love. In other words, Paul is saying, you need to let your heart dwell in Christ through faith, that together you may find the power. And here he goes. He said that you may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, church, you may not have anything. You may not have the wealth of this world. You may not have all of the things that you deem necessary. But Paul says you want fullness in the world. You want fullness in God. It's found in Jesus Christ. And he said, because of that dwelling in your heart, you can grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. In other words, if you're empty, you want to be full, let it be filled with the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ, who surpasses all knowledge, that he will fill your life today. So if you're empty and you find you're in a strange place, you're going to find fullness in Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us of that. And at the end of the first chapter, we see a despondent, uncaring Naomi, eager and deeply devoted Ruth. Naomi is empty. She's lost that she has experienced in her life that left her feeling empty. And we grasp the gravity of God's love, who emptied by giving us his Son, so that in the fullness of Jesus Christ, God may dwell in your hearts, that you may be rooted and grounded in the power of his love. This situation might have changed Naomi, but what God is saying, it might have changed her physically, but I'm still up to something spiritually in her life. And we notice that the writer in the story places emphasis on Naomi's emptiness. At the end of chapter 1, the writer wants you to know that she said, don't call me Naomi anymore, call me Mara, because I am left full and I've come back empty. You see, what the scripture tells you and I is that when we're empty, he will fill us. When we are dry, he pours water into my cup. When I don't see things, God opens my eyes and lets me see the valley that is in front of me. God shows me direction, and I simply can be full in Jesus Christ and take one step at a time. Well, if you're in empty and you want to be full with God, well, I've just given you the first clue. You might be in a strange place, but are you in a strange place with God? As we explore the scriptures, notice that the three large major prophecies, they are in a strange place. They've been unfaithful with God and for many reasons left the fold. They found a new love in the little gods of the land. They created a void or separation from the love of God, which has hampered the relationship. The choice is very difficult, yet God sends the prophets a message to the people, repent and return to the Lord. You see, we're at a place that this country, this world that we lived in, we've talked about it, we've heard about it. It's been stated, run down, run over, however you want to call it. But our world has walked away from God. Our world no longer wants God involved in your conversations. Our world wants to take God out of the courthouses, out of the buildings, out of schools, out of the power of prayer. Who ever thought that you could give my country 'tis of thee or the flag, and all of a sudden we've got to change the way we've done things. And you want to know why? You're in a strange place and God is excluded from your conversations. You can't sit down to have lunch and people look at you strange because you're praying in a public place. You've got a coach who wants to pray for his team. That's not allowed. You want to know why the country's going to heck in a handbasket? Let's call it. There's no God. The people of God, you would say, well, it's just a new thing. Well, no, it's not. The children of Israel walked away from God. God gave them everything. He gave them a promised land. He gave them all of the choice fruits and fat of the land. And He protected His people. He walked them through the wilderness and brought them into a land. And they walked away from Him. So why should it surprise you the country wants to leave God? What happens is up to this point, they depended on God. God has been their force, their strength. And some would say to me, well, gee, does that surprise you? That somebody who depended on God has depended on everything else? They depend on the dollars they have in their pocket? They depend on work to give them more money and more money and more money? They depend on things around them? And they're taking everybody else for blame because it's their fault they don't have enough? I must say there have been times in my life that I find myself in a strange land. When I'm in a strange place, who do I depend on? My wife? Yeah, that's great to depend on my wife. When I'm in a strange place, who can I depend on? Well, I just told you the first and foremost avenue is that if I'm not fullness, I need to find it in Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that Solomon, and throughout all of the course, in some strange places. We can experience a lot of variety of things. We lose our intimacy. We lose our freedom. We lose our rewards. Our identity is gone. And trust me, you're nothing but a number. You might say, no, I'm not. When they ask me at work, what's your number? 222-859. What's your zip code? What's your social security number? Come on. All you gotta do is tell them your last four. And they're popping it up. Oh, I know you. Do you know people can do a Google search on you now? They can look on Google and they can tell you who you are, where you live, and what you're doing. They know your past, your history. And you lose your identity. You're in a strange place. You're in a foreign territory. All they gotta do is Google you, and they'll know who you are. Some say that God places people in uncomfortable situations to show them their weakness so they can learn to rely on Him. Others say that God providentially places people in strange places because of His perfect plan. I can remember walking into junior high school. Well, I thought I was a smart-nosed, whip-nosed little boy. Got out of elementary school and I walked into junior high school. Within the first few weeks, I was in a fight. Every day. Fighting all the time. Fighting the kids around me. Fighting people bigger than me. Strange place. And then, worse than that, I went into high school. That was even worse. I can't imagine what it's like today for Ivana when she's heading into getting ready to go off to college. I can't imagine. The times are so different than when we went to school. And then walking into college. Got to my master's classes. People around me looked and said, are you the teacher? Now, folks, you can either take that one two ways. Either number one, I'm too old. Or number two, I don't know. I didn't have the cardigan sweater. I did that one time. I walked into a pastor's conference one time, and I walked downstairs to the breakfast, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Every one of them had a sweater on, except for me. And you want to talk about a strange place? Beth looked at me and said, you better go upstairs and get your sweater put back on. Because if you're going to fit into all these dudes and women, you better get swept. But to go into my master's class, are you the teacher? Why would I be sitting back here if I'm the teacher? I'm in here just like you. Aren't you a little old to be in class? What are you trying to say? Yet in all of the great stories of scriptures, God has chosen to create a worth in us. Could it be possible, the second idea, that you're in a strange place except for God? Now I said if you want to go from empty to full, first of all you've got to dwell in Christ, right? Second point here, if you're in a strange world except for God, how does that happen? First of all, John 14 says, in verse 7, you know Him, the Holy Spirit, because why? He dwells with you and will be in you. You might be in a foreign land, but God knows exactly where He needs to dwell. And He needs to dwell in you, that you might be in some sort of strange place, but recognize that you can go to a different worship service, you can go to a different church, but if the same Spirit dwells in you and the same Spirit dwells in me, we have a common bond and we should be family of God. We should be dwelled together and knit together, and together we worship the Lord. Well, you might say, okay, I get that out of John 14, 7. That doesn't really tell me much. Well, then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 6, where he says, do you not know that you are God's temple? Oh, wait a minute. If I'm in a strange place except for God, we're told here that, don't you know? Oh, wow. Look at the time. Sorry. Way past. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Paul understood that I can be in strange and foreign territory, but God dwells in me and His Spirit dwells in me. So, first of all, if I'm empty, God's going to fill me through the indwelling power of His Spirit. And that same Spirit that dwells in me calls me to be unified with the body of Christ, that we are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in me, and we might be in the midst of unknown territory, but we are common and together. In the midst of an unknown territory, God will lead you to places you never choose, unwanted places, because the Lord is greater than we can imagine. Holy Land is proof for Naomi and Ruth, all that God is doing. Well, let me move on to this last couple of points here. Can we be like Ruth with God? Ruth said, no matter what, in this chapter, she says, I don't care what you're going to go, where you're going to go, or what you're going to do, I'm not leaving you. Don't beg me to leave you, I'm not going to do it. Well, here's the other point. We might be in a strange land, but can you have faith like Ruth? A resolve not to be moved, the tenacity to stick with it, to not run or leave. Well, I'll tell you, we either have two responses, fight or flight. We've either got to make a choice. If I'm empty, God's going to fill me. If I'm in a strange land, except for God, God's Spirit dwells in me, and we are the body of Christ, and that is where we are called. But if you want to be like Ruth, and the next point is, Ruth tells us in such cases, Paul understood that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can we be like Ruth with God? Can we say that no matter where you go, God, I will not leave you? No matter where you call me, God, I will stick with you. Can I say that no matter what I do, God, if you call me to the droves of the worst place in the world, I'm going to go with you. Mother Teresa knew that. She went with 3 rupees to Calcutta in India. God made a place for her, and she dwelt with the people. Romans 8:31 said, what shall we say about such wonderful things? If God is for me, who can be against me? Since He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything? Can we not understand that God wants to give us all the benefits of what it means to have Him dwelling in us, to know that nothing's going to separate us, that God cares for us, He indwells with us, we are the body of Christ, and that nothing will separate us from Him? Well, we love to get separated from people, and every day you hear words about those who, I used to love this person, but I don't love them anymore. She's been happily married for 45 years. that nothing say about us, relationships. We take the easy path.